stochastic process, provided its correlation decay fast enough, is known to lead to exponential kind of behavior of the return time distribution, at least for long times. However, if this condition, that is that the correlation decay fast, is relaxed, different behaviors may arise. Actually, if we consider a stochastic process with power law correlation, and the power law is sufficiently slow as decay, what has been observed recently is that the return time distribution has a stretched exponential behavior. This is numerical evidence. It is not clear if it is a asymptotic behavior. However, it could not be surprising, also because it is known. It is already an old paper by Newell and Rosenblatt, which showed, and this was a mathematical proof, that the probability of no zero crossing for a certain amount of time for Gaussian processes with power law scaling indeed scaled like a structured exponential. So, subject of this talk will be precisely provide some analytical calculations of the deviation from exponential scaling of the return time distribution in the case the process is as power law scaling, the process correlations power law scaling, and provide some argument explaining the mechanism which may lead to structured exponential behavior, not only as a finite time effect, but also asymptotically in the return time distribution. So,
just general question. I mean, you know, there's this general theorem of Sparri-Anderson about return times for any process that's symmetric. Does it, do your results have anything in relation to that?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
No, it's just that he has a general theorem that no matter what type of distribution you have, as long as it's symmetrical, that the number of steps before your return is n to the minus 3 halves. It's a very general result. So I'm just curious as how it fits into what you're talking about.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I really don't know. However, the process I'm considering is a just stationary Gaussian process with zero mean unit variance, and power law correlation of this form here with S less than 1. And I identify an extreme event introducing a large threshold, and the event is just the fact that the stochastic variables is above this threshold. Then what do we know is just the simplest information we can get on the statistics is just the fact that the ratio between the average time spent above threshold, that is the average permanence time, and the average return time are related by means of the probability of the event itself. However, if we go to higher statistics, this is information on the PDF of the return time, of the return times, things are more difficult, and to make life easier, I consider a simpler problem, that is the one in which the sampling is carried on at discrete times with a sampling time delta long enough that I am in the scaling range for the correlation. Then the probability of the return time distribution is just the probability that there are no exits up to the measuring time Tn, which can be expressed in as a product of the probability that there are no exits at all intermediate time between the instant the stochastic variable went below threshold to the instant in exam, all probability conditioned to the fact that there were no exits before, and we can express this in even easier form in terms of probability of exit at these intermediate times conditioned to the fact that these are first exits. The central object of the analysis, therefore, PDFs like these, that more in general are PDFs of the stochastic variable conditioned to no exit before some reference time pk, before n, and then the probability of exit condition to the fact that this is a first exit is just expressed in terms of integrals of that PDF above threshold. The whole problem is trying to establish some kind of recursional relation which gives the dependence of the probability on the exit probability on the distance of, from the instant of time at which the system went below threshold. And actually this can be done, it's not particularly difficult. This is the relation which comes out and can be explained, at least graphically, considering the fact that if we consider the PDF condition to no exit up to a given time, and you want to propagate it to the next instant of time from t sub n to t sub n plus 1, we have to consider all those trajectories which at this instant of time, t sub n, were above threshold. So we must subtract with this small triangle underneath, propagate forward in time, which gives us the result, this smeared out contribution. And this is the term on the right-hand side of the formula. And the p sub n is just the probability mass of this contribution. This other term is just a contribution which is needed to obtain again normalization equal to 1 of the probability. We can actually iterate this formula, just substituting the expression for the rho n, the n plus 1. I remind that this is the probability, the PDF of the stochastic variable at time t sub n plus 1, provided that there were no exit up to time n, tn. We can iterate and obtain this formula here, which is the object of what I explain next. This is actually a first item in a hierarchy of equations which connects PDFs with conditioning at, let's say, Q times, and PDFs conditioned at Q plus 1 times. So in the first equation, we just get the expression for the PDF conditioned to no exit up to time n in terms of a PDF in which there is a first exit at time k, and so forth for the next items in the hierarchy. The idea is, let's see if we can do perturbation theory and see what happens. So we try it. We try, and to lowest order, we neglect the contribution from the conditioning, that is, the fact that the system had made no exits before. And what we get is just an evolution of the PDF, which describes the PDF, that is, the PDFs originating from points above threshold as time passes, neglecting all kind of conditions about the fact that afterwards they went or not above Q. So this is just in the case of a Gaussian process, a Gaussian which shifts towards zero while it spreads and reaches the final equilibrium distribution, that is this one here, is just a zero mean unit variance Gaussian. The probability of being above Q, that is above threshold, is a finite positive number, and if we send n to infinity, what we get is just that the distribution for the return times tends to an exponential. Is it good? Well, it might be. It might be if, but this would mean that the results on stretched exponential are actually just a finite time correction. It seems that this is not so. Actually, if we look at next order in the theory, we see that there are divergences. That is somewhat an indication that the wrong zeroth order had been chosen from the start. So let's try to carry on the calculation and calculate the correction here using so-called Bert theory, just in substituting the zeroth order that we had calculated before. Take the integral at both sides of this equation above threshold in order to obtain the exit probability, and we get this equation here. Just a little bit of calculation in order to understand what is the dependence of the evolution of the trajectories which made the first exit at time piece of k, and we get an expression like this, in which there is a sum of powers in the time separation from the instant of measurement and the instant k at which we are considering the first exits, which, if we substitute the zeroth order for the probability, that is a constant, that is, we are assuming, as I said before, we are considering as I said before, exponential scaling in the limit, we get divergence. So perturbation doesn't work, at least in this form. Some kind of renormalization is necessary. The situation is not very different from other situations in which renormalization used by basically in critical phenomena. We have that for s less than 1, there is a stronger and stronger contribution from instant in the past, that is close to the instant at which the system started to go below threshold, to arbitrary long times t sub n. That is, even if we consider very long times, this memory of the past is still there. This is not true at s equal 1, and one may try, indeed, a kind of epsilon expansion in the difference between s and this crossover value 1, analogous to the epsilon expansion that is done, is carried on in a critical phenomena. Basically, renormalization B means that in the equation that we have written before, that is the equations for the PDFs, we keep here a contribution which contains already the corrections, and we must select those corrections that are the leading ones as far as divergence is concerned. A little bit of analysis shows that the leading correction is indeed in this form, again the time to the minus s contribution that we had before. The only thing here, we have this renormalization because decay is not anymore the limit form of the probability, and what we get is that indeed the probability of exit or first exit doesn't go to a constant but decrease with the time, like n to the minus epsilon, that is the deviation from the s equal 1 crossover divergent to non-divergent behaviors. Substituting an expression in the expression for the term time distribution, we see that this leads rapidly to a stretched exponential form for the return time distribution. The important aspect is the following, is that the this is an effect which is not due to the literal form of the tails of the PDF. It is something that is due to the behavior of the conditional mean, that is the center of mass, the mean of the PDF, which originates from those trajectories which at time t sub k made the first exit. And those trajectories go towards zero with a power law behavior that is precisely this. Actually, we can repeat the calculation instead of looking at the probability of exit, of the exit probability, looking at the mean. And we discover exactly the same pattern of divergences, and the same renormalization can be carried on. Actually, this is an important aspect of the technical aspect of the thing, because one has to consider all the divergences, and all the divergences that are present must be renormalized. It is not necessary to, and it is not forbidden to carry on further renormalization, but these must be carried out, otherwise there are problems. But there is an observation, the fact that the epsilon expansion works better because of the form of the correlation function and of the conditional beam than the tail, that the probability associated to the tail of the PDF which at the time T sub k made exit. What we can do at this point is to repeat the renormalization on the mean, forgetting about the renormalization on the exit probability, which will surely give wrong results for t that goes into infinity, but maybe given this form here might give better results in the short or in a finite time condition. So we obtain a PDF in which renormalized PDF in which there is this expression for mu for the conditional mean, which is renormalized by means of epsilon expansion, and we can compare the results of this mean with the results of Bayer theory. This is a simulation carried out just a Monte Carlo of a stochastic process with these characteristics. This is the result of Bayer theory, that is the behavior of the conditional mean, that is the mean originating from the initial condition at time to zero. And this is the result of the perturbation theory done using renormalization. And you see that actually is better, the result. And this allows also to calculate the return time distribution. I apologize. And for different values of the difference between the scaling between S and 1, that is the different values of the scaling of the correlation function. And the agreement is good. It's even good for differences that are pretty large, like S equals 0.2, that is a situation where epsilon expansion is not expected to work. However, it's much better, it can be shown it is much better what would be obtained doing calculation in either with Bayer theory or doing renormalization without taking into account this renormalization of mu. This is another thing. And skip to conclusions. Structure exponential scaling appears to be I didn't show this result, but it can also be shown that also the permanence time distribution scales like a structure exponential. There is, at least I think, within this perturbative approach, there is good reason to think that the structure exponential scaling should remain true also for a very, very long time, that is in the asymptotic limit. It appears that this should be a robust effect that is associated with the bulk property of the PDFs, not just with the tails. And in particular case of Gaussian statistics, the fact that the two exponents, that is the order of the structured exponential and the power in the power law of the correlation function are equal, is just a consequence that the correlation function and the conditional mean for a Gaussian just scale exactly just the same thing. And calculation can be done using basically epsilon expansion techniques for finite times and lead to pretty good results. Okay, that's it.
Yeah. Yes. Just one question. I mean, is the stretched exponential decay holds for all s or only for s between 0 and 1?
Between 0 and 1. For s larger than 1,
it's exponential.
It's exponential, yes, because it's not divergent anymore.
No, I just wanted to make a comment because there's a theorem due to Rosenblatt. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes.
Which actually proves this fact, that between s, 0 and 1, it's stretched exponential with a stretched exponential power tau to the power
with
s.
Rosenblatt, you mean that paper of 62?
Yeah.
This is
52,
a,
I don't remember which thing.
Yes. This is a probability of the no, I don't, the thing is this. This is a theorem on the no zero crossing. I don't know if it is just generalizable, so also at any crossing at any level. That's the only point, because actually it is true that one has to expect this, but I didn't know.
Well, I mean, his theorem, he proved the bounds. It's just upper bound basically.
An upper bound, yes, yes.
One more question, quick one.
Yeah. If you could please tell more about your comment about the conditional mean that give you, how do you say, it's related to
this thing black.
Yes. An ergodic theory. You say you can also define the same probability in an ergodic sense, no? As a ratio of, expected number of crossing divided. So I say, is there a general rule what you are saying there, or
no, it's just for a Gaussian you can calculate any conditional moment or whatever order and whatever condition you want, just analytically, and you just obtain that. It's just also consequence of the fact that the basically all initial conditions decay the same way for a Gaussian process. Just change the factor that is the initial condition and the right way of decaying in order to be able to obtain the correlation function after taking a second mean over all the conditioning is just
it would be easy to apply.
I think we better leave it there and move on to the next speaker. Okay, so we can.
Okay.